Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Ayin Beis. We're holding the fourth line from the top of the Yomid. As you recall, the last part of yesterday's Gemara was dealing with the boundaries and borders of Bavel for purposes of Yichus, because we've said already several times throughout our perek that while all the Arotzeis are Issa l'Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael in turn is Issa l'Bavel, which means Bavel was considered to be, certainly in the times of Ezra and Nehemiah, as being as pure as possible vis-a-vis Yichus. In later years, as you recall, there was some pikpuk, people were starting to question that. But anyway, the tail end of the yesterday's Gemara was, what are the borders and boundaries of Bavel, so we should know that there everybody's considered to be Cheskas Miyuchasim for purposes of Shiduch. So we're up to the fourth line from the top of Ayin Beis, Omer Aleph, Omer HaPapa, Ki Machlekes L'Yochsin. The same Machlekes that we had yesterday between Rav and Shmuel in terms of exactly where does the border begin, where does the border end in terms of the Pros and the Chidekel, from this side, from the right, from the left, from the north, from the south, etc. The exact same Machlekes that we had, Kach Machlekes L'Gittin, is also L'Gabe Gittin. Now what's L'Gabe Gittin? You recall the first Mishnah of Masechta is Gittin. Neza maybe get Mavdina Seyam, Tzarech Sheyoyim Avani Nechta B'Avani Nechta. Then the Gemara later on in Daf Vav said, however, when it comes to Bavel, Bavel is different than the rest of Medinas Hayam. Why is it different? If you hold like Rabbah, the reason is because of Bikin Lishma in Bavel. There were many Talmidei Chachamim, and therefore they knew about Lishma just as much as the people in Eretz Yisrael knew the din of Lishma. And if the reason is Metzuyin L'Kaimai, because of the fact that in Bavel there were yeshivas, so you had a lot of traffic going back and forth from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, therefore it was not necessary to say B'fanei Nechtem, B'fanei Nechtem. But then that raises the question again. What are the boundaries? What are the borders of Bavel? Says Rav Papa, the exact same borders that we talked about yesterday, vis-a-vis Hilchos Yochsin. Same thing would apply to Gabi Hilchos Gittin. For Rav Yosef, Amar Machloikis L'Yochsin. Machloikis of yesterday was Yochsin. Amar Gabi Gittin, Divrei HaKoyel Ad Arba Tinyono De Gishra. When it comes to Get, everybody would agree that where does the border end in one of the directions? Where you have the second, where Tinyana means second. Arba, Rashi says, means an agam. Agam means a swampy area, a marshy area, where you have a lot of reeds and a lot of weeping willows, says Rashi. So the second such swamp or marshy area beneath the gesher, beneath the bridge, that's where you go, that's where the boundaries vis-a-vis Bavel, vis-a-vis Gittin, end. Now, if you remember, towards the bottom of the Omid, the Gemara had on the last line, V'yiboyisem le'olam ad ravlait, ad shmul loylait, v'gishra d'bei pros, l'tatoi havikoi. So Shmuel is already talking about the gishra of pros. What our Gemara is telling us is that that's for purposes of Yochsin, for purposes of Gittin. It's the second swampy, marshy area underneath or right beyond that gesher, that bridge. Amar Rami Bar Abba, Chavel Yama Tchelta de Bavel. The word Chavel Yama, says Rashi, is the name of a place, as we'll see. And Tchelta means the Tchelis. Tchelis, says Rashi, means like the beauty, the magnificence, the glory of Bavel. Of course, we're not talking about the scenery, we're talking about the Gabi Hilchis, the Gabi Nyoni Yochsin. If you go to Rashi, it's almost halfway down the Omid, Tchelta de Bavel. Meklila, Klila is the crown, the Tefarta, the glory and magnificence, Shobav Eliyachsin, that's in Chavel Yama, in that place. Moreover, Shunya, Viguvya Tchelta de Chavel Yama. In Chavel Yama itself, there were two neighborhoods, or two kfarim, two towns. One was called Shunya, one's called Guvya. They're the Tchelis, they're the magnificence, the glory of Chavel Yama. Ravina Omar Af Tzitzura. Don't leave out Tzitzura. In other words, there were three such communities in Chavel Yama, Shunya, Guvya, and Tzitzura. Tanya Mihochi, Taka Brais, Chanun Ben Pilchas, Oimer Chavel Yama, Tchelta de Bavel. That's the most beautiful part of Bavel for Yichus. Shunya, Guvya, and Tzitzura, Tchelta de Chavel Yama. So what it comes out is we really have three madregas, if you will, in terms of Bavel. We started off that Bavel happens to be the apex, the most the peak of Yichus throughout the world. Even Eretz Yisrael is an Isil Bava, so therefore they are the Tchelis of the world. In the Tchelis of Bava, we have the Tchelis of Chavel Yama, which is now the Eila Li'Eila, that's the Spitz, the apex of Bavel. And then inside the Chavel Yama, we say now their apex, their peak is the Shunya Govya and Tzitzur. So that's really Kodesh Kedoshim, so to speak, for purposes of our Yichus. Amra Papa, so Papa said, "Voin then today I arvi behu kusoi." Unfortunately, the kusim have mixed in with the people in those places, and therefore they have lost that purity of yichus for which they were so famous for, that they were considered to be the tchelis. However, says Imo, even though Rapapa said that, "Falohi abla ma'isa sinitaze," it's not true. It's a hud boy menayu v'lo yavulei. What happened was that one day one or more kusim came to this place, to Chavel Yama or to Shunya, Guvya, and Tzitzura, and they were looking for Shiduchim. And people are saying to themselves, they should look for Shiduchim from us. We have the most pure legacy and genealogy of all of the Shvatim of Klal Yisrael. And they, the Kusim, they want to go and mix in together with us. And so therefore they didn't allow them. So even though they wanted to, it's a who the boy menai, but they said, you know, sorry, mister, all of our ladies are all in Shaduchim now, they're all busy, come back in 3 or 4 years and we'll talk further. Anyway, so just because of the fact that the Kusim approached them, there was already a shem, oh, the Kusim are interested to infiltrate and assimilate with this Tchelis of Bavel. But the Gemara says, it didn't happen. They wanted to, but it didn't happen, so therefore their purity and lineage still remains. Now we identify this place as Chavel Yama. Frankly, when my Chavel Yama, maybe you can go and tell me exactly where, what is Chavel Yama. Amra Papa Zu Pras de Bursi. Pras, of course, is the Nahar Pras that we keep on talking about, the Euphrates. And Bursi is the name of a town which was adjoining right off the Nahar Pras. And Gemara Masechtis Sukkah refers to it not as Bursi, but Borsif. So Borsif, which was a town adjoining Pras, that's what we call Chavel Yama. Presumably the word Yama means the Yam of Pras, the river of Pras, and Chavil means, like the Chavila, packaged together with it, it's the adjoining it was this Borsif. So that's probably how it got the name, Chavel Yama. Says Yimor Vaita, who gabed the Omelahu? There was a person that came on the scene and he said, Ano min shoit mishoit. I come from shoit mishoit. Omad Reb Yitzchak Nafcha al Raglav, Reb Yitzchak Nafcha stood up, the Omar Shoit Mishoit, Ben Hanahoris Oimedis. It stands, in other words, it exists between the two big rivers. Those are the two rivers that we spoke about yesterday at great length, about the Pros and the Diglis, or the Chidekel, the Euphrates and the Tigris. That's where Shoit Moshoit is. Frankly, Marvachi Ben Hanahoris Oimedis. My havas. So, what do you mean by telling us that? What it means to tell us is that this place, Shoit Mishoit, is in between these two big rivers, and therefore it has the same status like Goyla. Goyla, of course, means the Golas diaspora, but in this case, says Rashi, Goyla means the city of Pumpadisa. The city of Pumpadisa had a nickname, it was called Goyla. It's interesting, you have the identical Rashi yesterday. Same Rashi, word for word. Here, Rashi is about 60% down the Amud. Kigoyla, Pumpadisa, Kori, Goyla, Barash Hashanah. And then if you go back to yesterday's Rashis, it's about 8-10 lines before the wide lines on the bottom. Again, Kigoyla, Pumpadisa, Kori, Goyla, Barash Hashanah. Why Rashi needed to repeat it twice, you know, with Toich Kedei Dibur, you can see both of them facing each other. Anyway, but Azoi is this, that Shoit Mishoit has Yichus like Pumpadisa, since Pumpadisa was one of the main cities in Bavel, so therefore it had excellent Yichus. But where is it exactly? If I'm visiting Bavel and I want to come to Shoit Mishoit, how do I get to it? It's slightly higher than Ihi Dekira. Now Rashi explains, Ihi Dekira was Lamala from all the places that we mentioned yesterday. Meaning, if you go down yesterday back to the Ayin Aleph Omid Beis, if you start from 5 lines from the bottom, the Gemara said, Le'el v'pros adhecha, north of Pros. Rashi said, south of Pros, but Tosis learns that it's north of Prus, all depending on whether the Prus flows from south to north or north to south. We discussed that briefly yesterday. Anyway, the Elbe Prasad Hecha, how far does it go in terms of Yichas? You're showing us a picture, thank you.
Yeah, oh. It's nice to have a grip.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yidikira, is that it?
Yeah, it's beautiful, Yidikira. So Ariel is showing us exactly where Yidikira is on the picture that is published and shown in the Art Scroll English Shas. Shkoyach. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good. So now, what is special about Yidikira? So yesterday, when we were talking about the various places in the, again, the Gemara said, Le'elba Pras at Hecha, how far does it go, the northern part of Pras? So Rav said, Akra de Tulbakni, I'm reading from four lines from the bottom of Ayin Aleph Amit Beis, Akra Tulbakni. Shmuel said, Ad Gishra de Beit Pras, we just spoke about the Gishra de Beit Pras, underneath where we had that second swamp that we said for Gittin purposes. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Ad Mebra, or Mabras, the Gizma. Oh, Mabras the Gizma. Now, Mabras the Gizma, that was the highest of these three. And now, getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara now quotes Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Ad Mabra the Gizma. Same as yesterday. Before, yesterday was Maberes, left out the Aleph, he has the Aleph, but this is exactly the same. So now the question is, Rabbi Yochanan said that Moshot Shoit, what was the lesson again? Shoit Moshot. That's a little bit higher up than Yidikira. Rashi says Yidikira was higher than all those three places that we spoke about yesterday. If you look Rashi after that Bagoila, that Kagoila that we looked at before, so Yidikira, Mokoim al Nahar Pras, it's another city which is adjacent to the Euphrates, Lamala Mikoma Mekoimas and Iskar Lamala. That's even more north of all the other places that we spoke about. That was the Akra de Tulbakni and the Gisha de Beit Pras, and even Rabbi Yochanan's own Mabra de Gizma. So, Freik Timora, how could this be? Since Rabbi Yochanan yesterday said that the limit or the border of Yochsin, Lamala of the Pras River, went all the way to Mabarta, the Gizma. And now here we're saying that this place of Shoit Mishoit, not only is it north of Mabra, the Gizma, it's even north of Yidikira, which is higher than Mabra, the Gizma. So this must be even further up. So Rabbi Yochanan, make up your mind to have a steer, Rabbi Yochanan. Here Rabbi Yochanan says that Shoit Mishoit is Yidikira, the El, higher than Yidikira, and it's still kosher Yachsin, it's like Pumpadisa. Yet, Rabbi Yochanan said that the border of Bavel ends at Mabra de Gizma, and this is much higher. So what's going on? Amar Abai, Sinisha Zoyshve, Ritzua Nafka, really, the end of the border of Bavel for Yachsin purposes is Mabarta de Gizma, like Rabbi Yochanan said yesterday. From Mabarta de Gizma, there was a little strip of land that continued on from Mabarta de Gizma, went up north, even beyond Ihi Dekira, and wound up on Shoit Mishoit. So Shoit Mishoit is, if you will, like the exception to the rule, that is higher than the rest of the normal border. The rest of the normal border is much lower down Mabarta de Gizma, but this additional strip of land went all the way up, and Shoit Mishoit, Baruch Hashem, they had great yichas over there. If you want to take a quick look at the Rashi, Ritzua Nafka, Amar Abaye, at 10 lines before the wide lines, Amar Abaye Ritzua Nafka, the Alachsein, it went slightly at a slant, Mi Mabarta de Gidma, that Mabarta de Gidma, that's the one that Rabbi Yochanan was talking about, Umakefes Esapsulim, and it surrounds, it goes beyond other towns, which unfortunately did not have the same Yichus, because they were already beyond the border, Ad Lamal, until it went even beyond Yidikira, even higher, and Yidikira itself was also Min Hapsulim, because that was not one of those that was mentioned in yesterday's list. That's even higher than the Mabar to the Gizma, and therefore it had Psulim there, it was beyond the border.
They said it was Gagola.
I'm in it. B'shoit Moshoit, B'fi Haretzua, Shel Alpros. The Shoit Moshoit, that was at the very beginning or the very end of that Ritzua, of that strip of land, next to the Pros River. So therefore, if you are in the Pros River and you are traveling northward, you're first going to go and meet Akad de Tobakni, the Gesher de Beit Pros, and Mabar to the Gizma. According to Rav, Akad de Tobakni, that's where the border ends for Yichas. Shmuel said, no, it goes slightly higher, to the Gesher de Beit Pros, That's where it goes. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, goes from Abar to the Gizma. But that's the border. Beyond that, you have a bunch of towns and cities which are out of the borders of Babel, and therefore they're all Psulim, including Iyadakira. However, there's one exception, and that's the famous town of Shoit Moshoit, where the Ritzua continues on from the Mabar to the Gizma, passes a whole bunch of towns and cities, unfortunately, of potential Psulim, even passes Iyadakira, which also had Psulim in it. It hits that Ritzua, finally ends by Shoit Moshoit, and that Shoit Moshoit, Baruch Hashem, there too, the Yichus was exemplary and very, very special, just like Pobedisa and the other places in Babylon.
They call it gerrymandering.
Gerrymandering? Okay. If you're talking about voting, here we're talking about Yichus.
Republicans are notorious for that.
only them?
Democrats are more...
Yeah, of course.
Florida.
The Panhandle.
Yeah.
Oh, now we're talking the Panhandle, right?
Tin Pan Alley.
Okay, so we'll continue on. Look to more about him. Omer of Ikabar Ovin, Omer of Chananel, Omer of. Remember, we have Rav Ikabar Ovin in the name of Rav Chananel, in the name of Rav Chalozoin and Nihavanid. In some of the newer Gemaras, Nihavanid is in parentheses because they take it out. Anyway, Chalozoin Nihavanid, Harihi Kagoyli Yachsin. Chalozoin, which again is the name of a place, that's also like Goyla, like Pumpadisa for Yachsin, so it's a good, clean place in terms of Yachs. Omle Abaye. So Abaye now says, Leitatzisule, don't listen to what Rav Ikka Bar Avin said. You know why he said that? Because he had a personal stake in this. Can you imagine? What was a personal stake? Oh, that's what I was going to explain. Yevom Mehidinofle Hassam. He heard that unfortunately his brother had passed away and his sister-in-law now fell to Yibam to him. And now the question is, can I marry her or not? Because after all, if she comes from that place, Chalozoin, maybe, unfortunately, there's some problem with her yichus. So therefore, he said, no, I'm telling you in the name of Chananel or Merab that Chalozin is like Goyle Yichus. It's beautiful. It's perfect. Amalei. So now when Rav Ikka Bar Avin heard that Abaye said that the reason why he's saying that it's all Kushav Yichus is because he had that Yavama there, so said Rav Ikka Bar Avin, with all due respect to Abaye, Amalei Otu Didihi. You think I made up this Maimer Chazal that we just learned? Rav Chananel. Remember, I said Omer Vikvar Avin, Omer Rav Chananel, Omer Rav. Rav Chananel is the one that said, I'm just quoting Rav Chananel. He said that Chalozin is perfect. Okay, so Rav said, no, Rav Chananel, Baruch Hashem, is still around. Ozl Shaila, Rav Chananel. They asked Rav Chananel, Vojoktir, Omer Lahus. He said to them, Hachi Omer Rav, like I quoted before, Chalozin, the Havanid Hari, Kigoy Liyachsin. And therefore, it's perfect. Everything is great. Now, Abaye, as you can see, was mefakpik. He wasn't so 100% sure. Why Taka wasn't he sure? Because he's a machloikis. Even though Rav Ikka Bar Avin, Omer Rav Chananel, Omer Rav said Chalozin is great, Upligad Rav Abba Bar Kahana, but the argument of Abba Kahana, the Omer Rav Abba Bar Kahana, Maitach Sif. What does it say in the following pasuk? Until we get to the Raya that Rav Abba Bar Kahana disagrees, will take us a few lines, but it's very simple. Maidach Siv, it says in the Pasuk, that this Pasuk is referring to Sancheiriv, who took the Aseres HaShvatim and drove them out of Eretz Yisrael and resettled them. Vayanchem, he resettled them Bachalach, Ubachovar, Nahar Goizen, V'Orei Mada. In these four places, he resettled some of the Aseres HaShvatim. Zokti Yomara, where is Chalach and Chovar? I never heard of these places. Oh, Chalach Zu Chalozin. Oh, that's the same Chalozin that we just spoke about. That Chalozin Nihavanat that the Gemara brought. Okay, so Taval, I still have no raya about anything. I just know that Chalach has another name called Chalozin. Fine. Chover Zu Hadayiv. Nargoizin Zu Ginzak. Orei Modai of the same Pasuk. Zu Chemdon Bechavrisa. That's a place called Chemdon. And it's neighboring towns and communities, like the suburbs. The Amrila Zu Nahavanat Bechavrisa. My Chabri said, can you give me the names of those other towns, those suburbs which were next to Chemdon or next to Nahavanit? Omishmul, Krach, Mushki, Chuski, Verumki. There were three towns that were very close to Chemdon, close to the Orei Mordai. What was the name of these three towns? Mushki, Chuski, and Rumki. Fine. That's the end of that first part of Rabbi Bar Kahana. Now, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, the Kulan, all of these towns that we've just enumerated and identified, the chaloch and the chover and the hargoyz and armade, kulam lepsul. When it comes to yochsin, unfortunately, all of them have psula yochsin in them. The reason why they have psula yochsin, says Rashi, because after the ten shvatim moved or they were removed and resettled in these places, unfortunately, the locals were all goyim, and eventually they assimilated, and Rachman Litzlan, of those Aseret HaShvatim, very few are left who are not tainted, who are not somehow assimilated with those goyim, and therefore they're all, says Rashi, either mamzerim or pigumim, but none of them are miyuchas any longer. Aha. So now, what do I see from this? Chaloch is one of these places that's kulam lipsol. Chaloch is chalozoin. Oh, so getting back to the gemurah that said before. Amar vikar, baravin, amar b'chanan, amar rab. Chalozoin nehavin, it is kigoyla, that if their yichus is fine. And Rav Yikar Bar Avin says, Abai, don't pick on me. Rav Chananel said, and Rav Chananel says, yes, that's what Rav said. Says, I'll say good, but Rav Abba Bar Kahana, who enumerated all of these places, together with Rav Yoichanan, said, kulam lipsol, that in fact, the yichus there is not pure after all. So therefore, we have a problem. So if you ever have a shidduch from chalozoin, realize that there is a potential problem there. So we finished this shtickel, but remember Shmuel just finished saying that when we said that Ori Modai is Chemdon v'chavri seha, or Nehavenid v'chavri seha, and we said what are the chaveirois that Krach Mushchi, Chuski, and Rumki, Freitimor Kasolka Daitach, that when Shmuel said Mushchi, Mushchi hainu Mushkini. After all, Mushchi and Mushkini sound basically the same, and therefore we're saying about that Mushchi, that's one of those places that Rabbi Yochanan said the kulam lipsul. Ayv om Rabbi Bar Avin om Shmuel. Yesterday we had that Shmuel said Mushkini hari kegoyli yochsin, that it does have good yichus. So make up your mind if Mushchi and Mushkini are the same. Is it good for yichus? Is it bad for yichus? So tomorrow ela Mushchi lechod and Mushkini lechod. The whole premise of your question was that you assume that these two are the same name or different names for the same place. No, in fact, these are two different places. Mushkini had a great yichus, and Mushchi had a shvach yichus. Good. So, Dr. Moravite, and now we're going to go and bring a pasuk from Daniel. Daniel had a dream in which he dreamt about four chayois, and each one of those chayois reflected or was represented one of the four golosin that we, Klal Yisrael, have gone through and are going through. The first one was Bavel, the second one was Persia, was Paras. And the beginning of this pasuk, which the Gemara doesn't quote yet, it'll quote it shortly, but if you want to look in the Torah Ora Shalem, assuming that you have the Torah Ora Shalem, it says, Va'aru cheva ochri tinyona dom ye ledoiv. In the dream of Daniel, the second chaya that was walking appeared to be just like a bear. And now the pasuk continues about this bear. Utlas iloyim bepuma. It had three ribs in its mouth, bein shinea, between its teeth. Okay, so what is the three ribs that we're talking about? Amr b'yechanan zuchalozain hadayiv unetzidim. So now you know why we are bringing this Gemara, because we spoke about chalozain. We speak once again about chalozain. We also mentioned, of course, dayiv as well in the previous pasuk. Netzivin, the Mefarshim say, is the same Netzivin that we have in Masechtes Psachim, who lived there. Yud b'Maseira, Ata b'Netzivin, Umitzudas Chaprusa al Yerushalayim. Very good. That's a famous story with the Goyim, with the Aliyim, with the Korban Pesach. Fine. So these three places, Chalozin, Hadayiv, and Netzivin, they are all part of the Doiv over here, the in the mouth of this Doiv of this beer, which reflects or represents. I'm sorry?
What's the relationship to the pasuk?
We were saying that the three...
How do they relate to the pasuk?
Well, the pasuk is a marshal. After we're talking about a dream that Daniel had, he's dreaming about the four malchias that unfortunately have been meshabed, in which we, the Jews, have found ourselves over the generations since the Churban Beis Hamikdash. And the second one is Adoiv, which is referring to Persia, Paras, and in this doiv's mouth, there were three ribs. And these three ribs were in bepume, in the mouth, and bein shinel, between the teeth. So the Gemara is telling us, don't take this pasuk literally, it's really more of a mashal. And the mashal is referring to these three towns. Why does it say bepume and bein shinel? Shepa'omim boilasen upa'omim poltasen. Depending on the year, sometimes these three were considered to be part of the Persian Empire, where Paras was in charge, And therefore, if you sent a letter to Chaloz and Adai and Netzivim, make sure that you write on the bottom Persia, or today Iran. But there were other times, Baltasim, that they were not part of the empire, that other countries, that maybe Modai, or Bavel, or Yavan, had taken them over for a period of time, and they were not part of the Doiv, part of Horas of Persia after all. It's not that different than what we had in Europe between before the First World War, between the First World War and the Second World War, that sometimes part of Poland belonged to Russia, sometimes it was its own, sometimes it was independent. You know, each one of the boundaries of the various governments and various countries shifted from time to time based on whether it was part of either the Russians or the Germans or this one or that one. So here too, these three towns moved in terms of their borders, whether they were part of the Persian Empire or not part of the Persian Empire. Anyway, continuing on, the reason why we're bringing this is because of the reference to Chalozin that we had before. This is the beginning of the Pasuk that we just quoted, which we had here in Oiz Beis, that this second Chai that was walking in the dream looked like a doiv, like a bear. And we're saying that this is a reference to Paras. The question is, what is the similarity between the two? What's the parallel? Tani Rav Yosef, Eilu Parsiim, these are the Persians, She'oichlim v'shoisim kidoiv, they eat and drink like a doiv, like a bear, Umir Sabolim kidoiv, and therefore they're very, very heavy and bali boser like a bear. If you've ever seen a bear, they are usually very, very stout. They have quite a few. But how does Rashi define it? In the second line, Mesabolim kidoiv, says Rashi, bali boser, lashon oivim v'shuman, they are fat, these bears, and therefore the Persians are similarly so fat. Umigadlan seir, back to the Gemara, Umigadlan seir kedoiv, they have a lot of hair, just like you see on the back of the doiv, they're very hairy. Ve'ein lem menuchin kedoiv, and they never stay in one place, they're constantly going back and forth. Rashi says, ve'ein lem menuchin, even if you were to take a bear and tie it down to a post, you'll see that the bear doesn't just sit there and lie down and smile, goes back and forth, constantly running, going back, pacing back and forth. So the same thing applies to the Persians. They can't sit still in one place. They're constantly pacing back and forth. And in fact, Rab Ami, ki have a chozi parsa de rachiv. When he would see a Persian that was riding in the back of a horse or a bicycle or whatever, Omer hainu du v'naida, that's like the wandering bear, because he's referring to the Persian individual like he was a bear, just like the bear is constantly moving on back and forth. He too, he's riding his, moving back and forth. Okay, something more vital. So we finished with this shtickle, and the point was that Chalozoin was part of Paras, and then that was a machloikus earlier, whether Chalozoin in fact has good yuchsin or bad yuchs. Now we move on. Omale Rebbe Lelevi. Rebbe spoke to Levi, and he asked him, Herani Parsiim, show me what the Parsiim look like. So Rashi says something very interesting about Levi. The Levi was able to go and give nice mishalim and give you a good picture of who these Umos HaOlam were. Bear in mind, it's not like today that you have videos and cameras and pictures. You can see this, that, and the other thing. People that lived in a particular place. He wanted, what do Parsiim look like, says Rabbi Talevi. If you look at, Rashi, the end of the third wide line into the fourth wide line, Herani Parsiim. Levi was able to go. He was able to give you a good mashal, good parable. V'dumiyos, he was also able to draw a good parallel between one thing and the other. The Kamli Rebbe, so Rebbe said to him, "Tell me, Mesholi Parsiim l'mahim doimin. Give me an idea. What do the Persians look like? How do they act? What, give me an idea." So, and the Gemara is going to say, "Now the Persians, you'll see." He asked him about various umay soil. Herani Parsiim. They're similar to the armies, the cavalry, the military of Beis David. Says Rashi that they're gibayim. These are very strong guys, these Parsiim. Herani chavarim. Can you go and show me the chavarim? Now we have the chavarim a few times in Shas, and in particular, Gemara brings it in Masechet Shabbos, like Gabi Chanukah, that they caused a lot of trouble. If they saw lights in a Jewish home, they would go and persecute them. No, we only have to have lights in our tumah.
Zoroastrians?
Yeah, I believe that's that may be one of the definitions. You have to see what it says in the art scroll. But the Chaborim, the Gemara says elsewhere, they came into Persia in later years, and they were far more vicious and violent than the Persians were. See, Rashi says Chaborim, Umasmucha leParsim. That's very close to Persia. Umashchisen hein. They're destructive. V'tarfonim hein. Yoizim parsim. They're much arrogant and much worse than the Persians. So he says, give me a description of the Chaborim. So he says, Levi doimin leMalachi Chabola. They remind me of Malachi Chabola. Malachi Chabola are the bad angels upstairs that do bad things. That's the best description. Herani Yishmaelim, tell me what the Yishmaelim are like. Doimun the Seirim shall base a kise. Rashi says Seirim are Mulubashim Shchoidim. They dress black. The Doimun the Shadim. They're like Shindalids. They're like evil, bad demons that you find sometimes in the outhouses. We don't mean in our bathrooms, in our homes, which are now usually the most beautiful room in the whole house, full of marble and beautiful smelling salts and everything like that. We're talking about the basic kises of yesteryear, which were outhouses, out in the forest or in the wherever. And therefore they often had shindalits, such evil demons. But that's what the Yishmaelim are like. Herani Tamid Chachamim, Sheba Bavel. Can you tell me what the Tamid Chachamim and Bavel look like? Doim l'malachi ashoreis. They look like malachim. How they look like malachim, says Rashi, because the Tamid Chachamim of yesteryear used to go and dress in white. So therefore, when you had a whole collection of them all together wearing white, they looked like malachim that are also dressed in white. So this was a discussion, Rebbe and Levi. And now the Gemara tells us, Nicha Nafshi, the Rebbe, when Rebbe was on his deathbed, about to pass away, Omar, he said the following. And again, the reason why we're bringing this, because it's related to Yochsin. Omar, he said, Hoimanya ikba Bavel. There's a town of Hoimanya that is in Bavel. Kula Amoinoi. It's full of Amoinim. The Gemara doesn't say, but apparently the name Hoimanya and Amoinoi themselves are related, because after all, Hey and Ayin, Aleph Hey Ches Ayin, are Mischalev. So the word Hoimanya is like Oimanya. It's a place full of Amoinim. What difference does that make to us? We'll see Mitch from the Gemara in the Amid Beis. The Gemara will tell us the significance of Hoimanya being full of Amoinim. Kula Amoinoi He. Maskaria, another city called Maskari, Ikab Bavel, in Bavel, Kula de Mamzerehi, full of Mamzerim. Birka Ikab Bavel, there's a town of Birka, Shnei Achen Yesh, there are two brothers that live in Birka, and as we'll see, there were no Grace of Tzadikim, the Machlif and Nishrei Seyem Zelazeh. They would go and exchange their wives one for the other, and therefore all of the children of those two wives were potential mamzerim, because it could be that they were from the brother and not from the husband, from the brother-in-law, not from the husband. So therefore, the yichas over there is totally destroyed. You have to be choishish from mamzerim. Birta desatya ikub bavel, there's a town called Birta desatya. Hayoim soru miachri amokoim. Today, says Rebbe, they went and drifted away from the Rebbeinu Shalom. How did they drift away? So now the word satya and from Elosha Sata, to go on kind of a detour and go off the main road. Says the Gemara.
Off the derech.
Off the derech, exactly. So says the Gemara, literally off the derech. So Gemara says over here, how do we know that they're bad guys? Says the Gemara, the Akfi Peira Bekavri B'Shabata. There was one time that the pool in which you had all of the kavri of fish, so there's a major fish pond, and in this fish pond, apparently the water got very high, and the fish were floating on top of this pond on Shabbos. And a lot of the townspeople in Birta Desatya, went and they caught the fish on Shabbos, which of course is a malach of Tzeda, which is one of the Lametes malachas. Vishamtinu Rav Achi Rav Yoshe. And Rav Achi Rav Yoshe put them all in Chayrim for chapping fish on Shabbos. And what was their response? Lai the Vishtamba, they all went and Shmad, they all became Goyim, they all converted. So therefore, now Rebbe is sharing with us, Nebuchadnezzar's deathbed, all of these towns, we should know what we're dealing with if we meet people from that town, if we want to do Shaduchim with that town. So unfortunately, Birta Deshatya, Tisatya, they all became Meshumat, unfortunately. If they were Edom, they should all. I don't know if at that time.
They couldn't give Skila
in Bavel, they couldn't give Skila because it was already too late. So probably, they probably could have given them Pesha Makas Mardis or something like that. He probably figured there was such a large crowd, maybe, you know, you can't start giving every one of the townspeople a badge, so he just said, you know, Uyu Ofurim Chayim for defying. The Rishash and other Mefarshim learned that these were not directly, that this, it didn't all happen in one day, because although Rebbe said that today, Hayoim, and this, the Gemara says, Ki Avanicha Nafshe, the Rebbe, sounds like the day that he's passing away. However, the Gemara says elsewhere, the Rebbe was wearing tefillin on the day that he passed away. And unless you hold that Rebbe holds that Shabbos is man tefillin, it would not be appropriate to be wearing tefillin and he'd be passing away on the same day. So I think it's Rishash or the Mefarshim say that these are two separate things. Number one, that they violated Shabbos and they put him in Chayim. And number two, sometime later, a week, a month, a year, whatever, they all became Mishumadim anyway. And therefore, he learns that the Ishtamid is referring to the day of Kiyam Nicha Nafshe Rabbi, not the catching of the fish, but that he said, Boisai, unfortunately, I got like a shtickle nevuah, that unfortunately all these people went and did Shemad today. Akr di Agma, yes, Rabbi.
The Gemara identifies the two brothers have exchanged wives.
Doesn't give their name. It just says there were two brothers in this town of Birka. Doesn't say their names. Yes. Right.
But since they are identified that it's an isolated incident, how come the entire town became we had a situation like this in Sao Paulo, but the rest of the town was not affected by it, and they were identified. This was a peculiar case.
Apparently, not even all the people in the town knew about this terrible aveda of these two brothers and their wives, and many of them were mashadich with them, thinking, oh, achashim mishpacha, fine, they probably had a little abyssal of geld, oh. So he's now telling you, Rabbi Yisai, all those that married in that town should be aware that unfortunately the two brothers that everybody thought are wonderful, great erlich guys, unfortunately they were machna shisem, and therefore potentially a lot of people have already been affected with this blemish, with having mamzerus in their family. Anyway, the Gemara continues on, says, Vaiter Rebbe, Akra di Agma Ikeb Bavel. There's a town called Akra di Agma. Ad Barahava Yeshba. And Ad Barahava lives there in Akra di Agma. And Hayoim, and today, Yoishib Achekish al Avram. He is sitting in the lap, the bosom of Avram Avinu. Now the question is, what does that mean, Hayoim Yoishib Achekish al Avram? So Rashi has two pshatim, which are, if you will, mikotze elakotze. First pshat, says Rashi, is yesh omer tap Rashi, yesh omer meis hayoyim. That Rebbe was saying that Ada Bar Hava, not only am I Rebbe passing away today, but also Ada Bar Hava is passing away today, or he passed away today. And that's what he means, b'chek shel Avram. However, says Rashi, that's potentially problematic for historical reasons. Vim kein, ein ze.
No,
that's all
a truck is blocking my car, so I
need to get
them to move it.
If that's the case, it's not Rav Ada that you find the Gemara, because Rav Ada in the Gemara was an Amoira. Rebbe, of course, was a Tana. So if Rabbi is saying that Rav Ada Barahava, or Ada Barahava is passing away today, can't be the Rav Ada Barahava that we find in the Gemara many times that was an Amoira. And therefore, says Rashi, "V'nira to ha yosh b'chek shel Avram Avinu shenichlas lebris mila." That's what he meant, as if Avram Avinu was the sandik. That's why he's yosh b'chek shel Avram today. Obviously, Avram Avinu was the first one with the bris mila in the Torah. So he's saying Ad Bar Hava had bris this morning. V'zer Rav Ada Bar Hava sheherach yom harbe. And this is Rav Ada Bar Hava that you have throughout Shas, that he was marach yomim so much so. Mishmeis Rabbi after Rabbi passed away. Adoyis Achronim be made Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. Kenamrin be Bava Basa. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak apparently was among the later doyis of the Amoraim, and Rabbi was the end of the Tanoim period. He was the one, of course, that was Masada the Mishnayis. So now after that, if Rav Ada Bar Hava had his bris that day and he lived to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, talking probably three or four generations or more, that he was Marach Yom. So therefore Rashi says, in all likelihood, the pshat is not that he passed away that day, but he had the bris that day. The top toises quotes the Rashi, and then he says all the way at the end, Achri pirish tishnei Rav Ada Bar Hava. There were two Rav Ada Bar Havas, and therefore you can't really bring a raya from one gemara to another gemara. There were multiple Rav Ada Bar Hava. In more recent years, in Slovakia, or maybe in the Czech Republic, think it was in Slovakia. There was a major town called Ada, and there were a lot of Yidden that lived in Ada. And so I heard from a Jew that lived in Ada, Mr. Wax, Zichron Levracha, passed away a few years ago. He told me that there is a letter that was written by the Divrei Chaim, that was a Tzanzeruv. This was in the time of, I believe, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, meaning Reb Shloim Gansri had just written his Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And although today the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is ungenommen, is accepted throughout the masses of Klal Yisrael, at that time there was a major controversy. What was the major controversy? There were many Rabbanim that said, don't start making Kitzurim, start cutting down the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is vast. If you're going to do a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, then people are not going to look in the Shulchan Aruch, they're just going to look in the Kitzur. Of course, that was a predecessor of today, where we have even Kitzurim the Kitzurim, as we all know, in English and in Hebrew and all the... Well, anyway, Nishkrafkimina. So when he published his Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, there were many Rabbanim that were opposed to it, and said, now people are not going to look in the Shulchan Aruch, they're not going to look in the Magen Avraham, and in the Taz, and in all of the Noisa Kalim, Prima Godim, they're going to go straight to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and that's... they were against it. The Divrei Chaim, I believe, was one of those that was opposed. And the Ruv in Ada, who was a Talmud of his, was also opposed to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and many other Gedolim were in favor. And eventually, as you know, it was accepted by Klal Yisrael. So they say that he, the Tzanzer Ruv, wrote a letter to the Ruv of Ada, who was very beloved to him, and he addressed it, "You are Rav Ada Bar Ahava." The Ruv Ada, the Ruv of Ada, this town Ada, Barahava, who's so precious to me and so beloved by me. Anyway, so he took the Rav Ada Barahava and used that as the way to greet the Ruv of Ada. Anyway, continuing on, back to our Gemara. So now Rebbe continues on. He says, "Hayoyim noilid Rav Yehuda beBavel." Today, Rav Yehuda is being born in Bavel. Omamar kishemeis Rav Akiva. When Rabbi Akiva, okay, so now this part is no longer a direct quote from what Rebbe was saying. We're just bringing a tushta, in other words, just bring a raya to what we just said, that Rebbe said, many in the top line, the Hayoyim Noilad of Yehuda B'Bavel, the Omamar, Kishameis Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva passed away, Noilad Rebbe. That's when Rebbe was born. As we'll see from the Gemara in another couple of lines, it doesn't mean necessarily the very same day, although Rebbe did say that Rabbi Yehuda was born today. But the Gemara is going to bring a raya from Eli and Shmuel, and that wasn't on the same day, as we'll see shortly. The Amar, Kishameis Rebbe and Rekiva passed away, Noilad Rebbe. Rebbe was born. Kishameis Rebbe, when Rebbe passed away, Noilad Rav Yehuda. That's Rav Yehuda Bar Yecheskel that we had a couple of days ago, where the person said Bar Shviskel, as you'll all recall that terrible story about that fellow. Anyway, Kishameis Rebbe, Noilad Rav Yehuda. Kishameis Rav Yehuda, Noilad Rava. When Rav Yehuda passed away, Rava was born. Kishmeis Rava, Noilad Rav Ashi. And Rav Ashi, of course, was from the final Amiroim, and he was the Masadar HaShas together with Ravina. Ravina Rav Ashi was Masadar HaShas. Lamercha, so what's the importance of telling me all of this historical, these historical births and deaths? Lamercha, Shein Tzadik Nifna Oilam Ad Shnevar Tzadik HaMoisei. That when Kadosh Baruch Hu takes away a Tzadik, he leaves another tzaddik just like him that he just created that day or recently. That even though Zorach HaShemesh, Uvo HaShemesh, that one Shemesh rises as the other Shemesh sets. So actually, Kovsa Shimshoi Shel Eli, before the Shemesh of Eli passed away. In other words, Kovsa means extinguished, but it means before it would pass away. Zorach HaShimshoi Shel Shmuel HaRamasi. Then Shmuel Shemesh already started shining. Shnema b'ner lekim terem yichbe u'Shmuel shoychev. The ner lekim terem yichbe is referring to Eli HaKoyen, and at that time Shmuel was already alive. And the pasuk continues on that he was shoychev heichal Hashem Hashem aroyin elikim. And then the next pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu then called out to Shmuel. Shmuel said, "Hineini, I'm here." And he thought it was Eli, thought it was a dream. Anyway, but it turned out that it was a nevuah from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu was conversing Kaviyacha with Shmuel. So we see that even before Eli passed away, Shmuel was already the rising sun, so to speak. Okay, so now with this we've completed all of the statements that Rebbe was making on his deathbed. It's interesting he made these statements at his deathbed. It could very well be, like we said in the Gemara before, that many of the Tanoim Amiroim were afraid to go and say anything bad about the yichus of particular families or communities, because we had Reb Pinchas yesterday that said, carry me in a stretcher and carry me away and run for the hills, because he was afraid that they're going to go and there was another Tana or Moira that they wanted to go and stone him, as you'll recall. Anyway, so it could be that's the reason why Rebbe waited till the final day. He says, you know, on my deathbed, nobody's going to do anything to me anyway. It's, you know, it's all over. So then he revealed these various towns, the Birka Desatya and the other towns, etc. So now one of the first things that he said was, as you remember, that Humanya was full of Amoinim. Now why did he tell us that? So Timor Tziva Shem Liyakov Svivav Tzarev. Rav Yehuda Omar Kigoyin Humanya Lepum Nahara. What is this all about? That Tziva Shem Liyakov, Kodesh Baruch Hu was Metzavel Svivav, because unfortunately Klal Yisrael has sinned throughout the generations, even after they've been expelled from Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't think that now you no longer have to worry about your neighbors in Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to go not only resettle the Yidden, I'm going to resettle the Goyim as well, that they're going to continue to be Svivav Tzarev, continue to cause us trouble. In modern day terms, you might say, not only do we have to worry about the Islamic people around Eretz Yisrael, we got to worry about the local Islamic people, whether it's in Europe, whether it's here in America, that Hashem said, oh, you settle in those countries, don't think that you are free from any problems. Unfortunately, lo yaleinu, you got problems here too. So it says, Rabbi Yehuda, Haimanya, which was next to Pum Nahara, Haimanya was full of Amoinim. So Rashi says, just like you had the Amoinim that were Shechenim of Eretz Yisrael and causing them constantly tzaris, even when we went into Golas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Amoinim there too to give Golas, to give tzaris to the Yidden in Bavel. Right. Vayiki Novi Upaltiyo Ben Benayoyo Meis Ve'epol Al Panei Ve'ezak Kol Gadol. Now what is this referring to? This is a pasuk, I believe, in Yecheskel, right? Is that Dalid? Yeah, in Yecheskel. And Yecheskel says, Vayiki Novi, I am saying Nevius, Upaltiyo Ben Benayoyo, Paltiyo passed away, he died, the epol al panai, and then I fell on my face, the ezak kol gadol, and I started screaming, v'oimar, aho Hashem alikim! Now the question is, why did he go and scream like that and say, whoa, Hashem alikim? Is this because he was terribly upset because Paltiyo was a nice guy? He says, oi, 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 we lost Paltiyo, the great guy. Or was he saying, whoa, oi, he was a terrible Russia. Why, Kadosh Baruch Hu, did you allow him to die in his own bed? You should have had him have a Misa Mishuna. So these are really two extremes, as we'll see in the Gemara in Erav, Shmuel Chadam Letoiva, that when he was crying out, he's saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu, oh, oh, you've taken away the great Paltiyo. And Rashi says he passed away at a junior age, at a young age, and therefore he was saying, I lament the fact that he, Paltiyo, this great guy, passed away so at such a young age. Chadal Merah says he was saying, whoa, why did he deserve to go and die such a noble death in his bed? He should have been dragged through the streets or whatever people do when a person has a Misa Mishuna. Says he more. Mandiyom Latoyva. So he more now describes why each one had that view. Kihod the Istandra. Istandra means like the governor, the Meshon, of the town of Meshon. We had already Meshon yesterday, the day before, as you'll recall. The Meshon was full of Mamzerim, according to the Gemara before. Anyway, so the governor of Meshon was Chasin and Nebuchadnezzar. However, he was the Edom. Edom means the son-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar. Sholach Lei, and now the son-in-law sends a message to the father-in-law. You, Nebuchadnezzar, Mikuli Hai Shvia, the Isis Loch, of all of those hostages and captives that you have taken away from the Jewish people, Leishadras Lon the Koi, the Kamon, why didn't you go and send at least a couple to me? In other words, you, Nebuchadnezzar, have in your palace and you have in your region all of these hundreds and thousands of Yidden that you've taken into Golis. Can't you send a couple to me to go and help me out in my town here in Meshon, that they should be my slaves? So he, Nebuchadnezzar, intended in fact to go and send some of the Yidden to Meshon, to his son-in-law. We that are Choshev, meaning that we happen to be the Jewish people, the chosen nation, leave us here, please, in your midst, and we'll serve you. Hacha. Va'avdin and aravadim nezel lahasim. So now what the Gemara is telling us is that just like we have in the Torah, we have in the Gemara, that Goyim and Lahavl Yidin owned Avadim, and these Yidin that have been taken to exile in Nebuchadnezzar had their own Avadim. So now you have in exile both the Jews and their Avadim that previously were enslaved to the Jews. So therefore Paltiyo said, keep the Jews here for yourself, Nebuchadnezzar. Send the Avodim there to Meishon, to your son-in-law. The Amanavi. Now, Yecheskel is saying, Misha Asa Toivu be Yisrael, person who did such a tremendous Toivu for us, the Yidin, that we stayed near the palace or in the environs of Nebuchadnezzar, as opposed to being sent to this, I guess, decrepit town of Meishon, whatever. Yomas V'chatzi Yomav, he should pass away so prematurely. Should have given him more years. He did a tremendous toiva for Klal Yisrael that they didn't have to go to Meisha. So that was the Mandi Omer LeToiva. Mandi Omer LeRoa Dichsev, another pasuk, totally different in context and what we're talking about. This is a pasuk also in Daniel, not in Daniel, in Yecheskel. Vatovei Oisi, Vatovei is referring to a draft, a wind carried me, Yecheskel. El Shar Beis Hashem HaKadmoini HaPoyne Kedmor Kedima. I went now to the Shar of the Beis Hashem of the Beis HaMikdash on the eastern side that was turned Kedima towards the east. V'hine b'Pesach HaShar Eser v'Chamish Ish. There were 25 people standing there. V'ere b'Soichem, and I recognized among the 25 as Yozniah ben Ezer. V'es Paltiyo ben Yo. Oh, that same Paltiyo ben Yo that we just had a moment ago. They were Sariyam. They were considered to be like the princes of the nation. Uksiv, and now there's a separate pasuk, also talking about Vayovi Oisi, this wind carried me, Achatzar Beis Hashem HaPnimis, Vinei Pesach Heichal Hashem Bein Ulam Uvein HaMizbeach, the Pesach of the Heichal is between the Ulam, it's like the Pesach of the Ulam, part of the Heichal, between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, and Ki Esu B'Chamisha Ish, and we're assuming these are the same 25 that we had in the previous pasuk, which included Pachio ben Bienyo. And what were these 25 doing? So Gemara says something really, really horrendous. These 25 people, achireim, their backs were el heichal Hashem, upneim kedma, and their fronts, their faces were facing the east. In other words, as if you're coming into the Azara from the east. So they looked at them, and their backs were towards the heichal. Now, on the surface, is nothing wrong with this. Per se. However, Mimasha Shinemu Pneim Kedma, if we're saying that their faces are towards the east, and Yadesh Achareim Klapi Marv, so obviously the backs were toward the west. You can't be on both sides, you can't have your face both towards the east and the west. So obviously the backs were to the Marv. So Mata Moloim Achareim Alech Hashem Alamich, O you Mafriin Atzmam, Umatrizin Atzmam Klapi Mala. Unfortunately, these people were horrendous. They did a horrendous thing. And what did they do? They undressed themselves, and like they lowered their pants. And they were defecating, going to the bathroom, klapi mala, with their backsides, which were exposed towards the ulam and the heichal, and ultimately to the kodesh kadoshim, etc. Exactly. These are very bad people. The common Navi, so now the Navi, who is saying, oy vavoy, oh, and woe is the Platyo ben Yo died. What is he upset about? He should be very happy that this guy died. Someone who did such a horrendous act, he should have a peaceful death on his mita. He should have had a misa mishina. That's why he was upset. Okay, so we obviously have now machloket between Rav and Shmuel as to Platyo, was he a good guy or a bad guy? But I don't know who is who. One said the Torah, one said the Rav. He went to Stein the Shmuel the Amal Rav. I'm going to bring you a Rai that Shmuel is the one that said Lira. Omer Pchia Bar Av and Omer Shmuel Mushkini. We already had this earlier today. Mushkani had a good reputation for Yochsin, like Goyla, like Pumpadisa, in the middle of Bavel. Mishain, loy choshula, loy mishim avdis, loy mishim mamzeres. This is contrary to the Gemara that we said before. The nation was full of mamzerim. No, said Rabbi Chiya Barav and Omer Shmuel, you don't have to worry about avdis and mamzeres, but you do have to worry about chalolim. El kehanim show you bala yikpidu ala grushois. And therefore, many of the townspeople are halalim, and therefore, if you're a kohen, stay away not to go and marry a halal. All of these people are posel, lavoida, posel for the kahuna, because they are halal. Okay, so now, what's the raya? By the fact that we have that Shmuel, okay, but Avinom Shmuel said that Misha, you don't have to worry about Avdus, so apparently there are no Avodim there. But according to that first story that we had, we said that Avodim were not sent down, Yisraelim were not sent down to Meshan, only the Avodim were sent down to Meshan. So therefore, if you learn like the first pshat, that Platio was a nice guy, and he gave good advice for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, leave the Jews here, send the Avodim all down to Meshan, so how come Shmuel is saying there were no Avodim in Meshan? If there's no Avodim in Meshan, obviously he doesn't learn like that first story, Letoiva. He learns like Lera'a, that Platio was a bad guy. He was among those 25 people that were Mavaza, the Heichel, Rahman Lislam.
Centuries later, though, I mean, Yecheskel was, you know, in time of, by Rishon, by Cheney, and Shmuel's and Amora much, much later. So over the generations, things could have changed from Avodim to Mamzerim to Chalolim.
And maybe the Gemara could have given that Teretz. The Gemara perhaps gives a better Teretz. Lo'ilim Eimalach Shmuel. Shmuel was the one that said Latoyv, and Platio said send all the Avodim, and all the Avodim went there. Shmuel Tamei, why does he say you don't have to worry about this? The Omar, and we had this Gemara already earlier, not here, we have Yevomis, Nozer, and Gittin, that says Hamafkir Avdoi, Yotzel L'cheiris, V'ainet Tzorach Get Shichur. The person whose Mafkir is Eved, he goes automatically L'cheiris for free, and you don't even need to get Shichur. Shinem, because it says in the Pasuk of Eved Ish, Miknas Kosef, Eved Ish, V'loi Eved Isha. That's not Benichus, it's V'loi Shabitnia. Eved Ish, V'loi Eved Isha, Kol Eved Ish, Miknas Kosef. Where does the Pasuk continue on? If you give him a bris milah, then the owner can go and eat from the carbon Pesach. So now, why does it only refer to Eved Ish, even if the Eved belongs to a woman? Any Eved that there is, his rabbi has authority over him, Kori Eved. Eved Shein L'Rabbi Rishos Olav, Ein Kori Eved. However, if he is Hefker, and he no longer has an Odoin on top of him, he's not an Eved of an Ish anymore. He's a Hefker Dike Eved. He's no longer called an Eved. You're only an Eved if you have a master that owns you. So that explains Rashi. Since in our case, the Yisraelim were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, together with their Avodim, so then when their Avodim were taken away from them and they went to Meshan, they automatically were Miyayish. They'll say, we're never going to see these Avodim again. After all, we're no longer in charge of our destiny. Unfortunately, we're all in Golis. We've even had our Avodim plucked away from us. They were all Miyayish. So that's like a form of Hefker. Eved, that Hamavker Av, the Yotzel Cheres. And therefore, even though Meshan may have been populated by former Avodim, but by the time that they reached Meshan, or a minute later, boom, they all became free men, so there's no Avdus Shaila anymore. Say Shmuel Shitasoi, that you'd only have an Avdus problem as long as you're an Evidish, but not when your Odin has been Mafkiri.
Don't you have to have a Get Shichur to prove that you're no longer an Evidish?
Shmuel says, Ain't it our Get Shichur? It could be for Raya purposes, it's a good idea to get a certificate from the Odin saying you're a free man. But in terms of freedom, you're now, even without a Get Shichur, you're free. Everything that we've said until now about the yichus of different places, that we said that chutz la'aretz compared to Eretz Yisrael is like Isa l'Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is like Isa l'Bavel, says that's Urameir. All lands today, anytime they read a shidduch for you, for your son, for your daughter, from Australia, from Africa, from Alaska, from anywhere throughout the world, unless you know otherwise, the chazok is a chazok of kashrus, you can assume everything is fine. So as a result, Ameimer allowed Rav Huna Barnosan to marry a woman from Mechoiza. Rashi says, although we think of Mechoiza being part of Bavel, however, it wasn't within the Gvul Bavel, for Yochsin purposes. Apparently it was to the north or to the west, whatever. It was not smack in the middle of Babel, it was somewhere to the side, and it did not have the reputation of great Yichus like the rest of Babel. So a Maimer allowed Rav Huna Barnosan to marry. Omli Ravashi, so Ravashi now challenged the Maimer. He says, my daiter, why did you allow him to go and marry from Mechoiza when you know that's not part of Iker Babel? Because of the Amr of Yiram Shmuel, Zudiv Ramei. Amachom Maimon, Kalorat is Bechesed Kashrus, Hein Oim Dois, and that's why you assume this Kashrus. V'ag Be'irav Kahana Loi Masni Ochi. in the Besmedish of Kahana, they did not repeat that in the name of Shmuel. Ubei Rapopoli Masni Hochi, not in the Besmedish of Rapopa. Ubei Rav Zvidloi Masni Hochi. But rather, what did they say in the name of Shmuel? Like the Gemara said before, that Shmuel also subscribes to this inyan of Kol HaRotzeis Har Issa to Eretz Yisrael. If you go back to, for instance, Ayin Aleph Omid Aleph, Ayin Aleph itself is Omid Aleph. You see 10 lines from the top of the Omid. Gufa Omer Yud Omar Shmuel Kol HaRotzeis Issa Eretz Yisrael Eretz Yisrael Issa Lebava. So what means Arotzis Isel Eretz Yisrael? That the other lands are like a chulin, like a dough, I don't know. Yichas Yo, Yichas Nish, I don't know. Bavel is the highest, Eretz Yisrael is too, but all the other Arotzis, they're pretty low on the totem pole. So therefore, said now Rav Ashi, to Ameimar, don't listen to what you heard in the name of Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, that the Chachamim disagree. No, no, listen to that Omar Shmuel that we had here, on top of Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul, on top of Ayin Aleph, different than this Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul, that he said, you should know, Rabbi Yisai, all Aratzah Yisar Issa. And therefore, and that's how they learned Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul and Rav Kana's Bismarish, Rav Papa's Bismarish, Rav Zvin's Bismarish, and they didn't learn that there's a machlok between a mayor and the Chacham. So Timora, Filahachi, even after a Amemer heard this challenge of Rav Ashi, like Kibbu B'nei, he was not in the Kabul, Mishim Lishmiel, Leimer, Rav Zvin, he heard from what he thought was a very reliable source, Rav Zvid of Ner Dov, and Rashi points out that that's Shmuel not the same Rav Zvid that we just had one line earlier.
But Ner Dov is the same town as Shmuel, though.
If you do me a favor.
Yeah.
You see, write one line on top of Rav Zvid. It says, Ubei Rav Zvid loy masni hachi. They learn differently.
Yeah.
And here it says, I heard it from Zvid of Ner Dov. So if that's the same Rav Zvid, so we have a steer in Rav Zvid. That's why Rashi points out, Rav Zvid in Edo is not the same Rav Zvid that we were talking about before. The Stam Rav Zvid was the line earlier, that he held like Rav Kahana, and like Rav Papa, and like he, all three of them held, that the real Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel was the one from Ayin Aleph that felt that there is a Psul Yochsen potentially in Shar Aratzois. However, says Ameimer, I followed Rav Zvid of Edo, said, in the name of Shmuel. And now Barry's pointing out that Shmuel lived in Ner Dov, so therefore perhaps that's the reason why he felt that Rav Zvid of Ner Dov is more bona fide and more reliable than all of those other Gedolim. But bottom line is, he learned like this from Yudah Meshmuel that said that the Chum say the Kol Aratzah Bechesed Sheir, so you don't have to worry about Psul Yuchsin anymore today. All the Aratzahs according to the Chacham are all the same. In other words, Stam, the Akasha. Tanaba. We spoke about this also yesterday. What happens the Osud Lovoi? It says in the Pasuk Vayibodo that the Vayoshim Mitzaref Umetayer Kesed the Tir Esbenei Levi Zikik Oysam. So remember, we had a Machloikis whether that means that Hashem or Yonavi in the times of Osud Lovoi is going to identify and separate out the Psulim, or to the contrary that the word Mitayer means he's going to be Machshir all the Bamzerim Kimish Nitma Nitma, since they already blended and assimilated. Just leave them and we're not going to pull them out. So that's the same machlokes that we have here too. They're all going to be tahar. In other words, there'll be a permanent amnesty like you said yesterday. They're going to remain the same mamzerim that they are today. And therefore they're going to have to be separated. I have a posse. This is talking about Asalavoi, Kodesh Baruch is going to sprinkle the Mayim Toirim, is going to be Matire, everybody. So says Rabbi Yossi, that means he's going to be Matire, the Mamzeim, and the Sinim. I'm going to remain, no, Kishoim, we call to my Seichem, call Gigolechem, Vloimen Amamzeiris. That you're all going to be Tomei, and you're all going to be Tomei from Avoidis Gilulim, from Avoidis Zora, and from all types of Shmutz. Now the Kodesh Baruch is going to be Matire you, in a mikveh, or with the Mei Chatos, and the Paraduma. We don't mean Mamzeiris. I'm Rabbi Yossi, Kishoim, the very end of that pasuk, after Mikol to Maseichem Gulaycha, it says Atayr Eschem. Those words are extra because it says it's Rakti Leichem Mayim Torim Utahartem. What's the Atayr Eschem? Aviyoyim Afven Mamzer. So Gemara Bishlam and Ramei Hayne Dechsev for Yoshev Mamzer Biashna. It's talking about Asad Lovoi when Klal Yisrael will be returned to their lands. You'll have Mamzerim that will live in Ashdod. Now, according to Ramei, that makes a lot of sense because Ramei says that they're not going to be Tohirim, so they'll still be Mamzerim L'Asad Lovei, and they're going to settle in Ashdod. El Rabbi Yosi might be Yosha Mamzer B'Ashdod. After all, Rabbi Yosi said there won't be any Mamzerim left. Everybody will be Tohar. Who are the Mamzerim? Hevdi Marke Metargen of Yosef, like Rav Yosef was Metargen the Pasik, Yasvin Beis Yisrael Roichsen Bar'an, to have a Domu Ba Linuchroim. That's what it says in the Targum on that Pasuk, according to Rav Yosef. What's the Yosha Mamzer Ba'ashdod? That until recently in Eretz Yisrael, there were no Jews. They were all sent away, rejected, ejected, dejected out of Eretz Yisrael. And so therefore the word Mamzer over here doesn't mean literally a Mamzer. It means a person just like a Mamzer is an outcast. A person who is rejected by Klal Yisrael, because you're not allowed to go and have him enter into Kahal Hashem. So it's saying that all of the outcasts until minutes ago, or hours, or days, or years, you couldn't, a Yid couldn't live in Ashdod. Now, all the Yidin can go back to Ashdod. So it's not referring to Mamzeinim, it's referring to Yidin. Yasin Beis Yisrael, Yasin means we'll resettle in Eretz Yisrael, the Beis Yisrael, the Roch Tzon Ba'areyan, to be able to settle in their lands, to have a Domobo, which until recently were considered to be like Mamzeinim, rejects. Amr Yudah Mishmul, Halakir of Yoyz, Halakir of Yoyz, Lassa Lavai, they'll all be Tahar. Amr Yosef, Ilav the Amr of Yudah Mishmul, Halakir of Yoyz. If it wasn't for this Givaldige Ofti, this tremendous achievement of Rav Yudah Mishmul, that we pass on like Rav Yoyz, that the Mamzerim will be able to remain within Klai, so they'll all be Tahar, have us Elio, Elio and Navi would come, Lassa Lavai. And Mapik Minon, he would be able to go and schlep out from the masses of Klai Yisrael. Tzavrone, tzavrone, koilorin. The word koilor is similar to the English word collar. If you remember, we had in Gittin, Kniva, the Kniva also the koilor. The Kniva was a bad guy, and the police, they schlepped him away with such a collar around his neck. I'm sorry?
To execution, yeah.
To execution, yeah. See, here, our Gemara is not referring necessarily to execution, but rather what it's saying is, tzavrone, tzavrone, yeah, let's look at Rashi. He has two pshatim here. The third wide line. Tzavroni, tzavroni means chaburis, chaburis. Groups in groups would be schlepped away by Eliyahu HaNavi, meaning of all these mamzerim. Lishnachrina, kailorin, kailorin. Not tzavroni, tzavroni, kailorin, but multiple times kailorin. Vahu, loshin maise, bekailish lebeni yodim, the seif yivamis. That kailish lebeni yodim means a kailit that's around the neck, that is put on by the police or by the military, and that's the way they like a leash, l'havdol that you put on an animal, they would put shackles around the neck, like you put handcuffs, so they put such a neck cuff, a neck shackle, and they would schlep people away. So what he's saying is that unfortunately, over the generations, so many mamzerim have permeated and assimilated in Klal Yisrael. If it wasn't for Rabbi Yossi, oh, you'd have tens, hundreds, maybe thousands of people being schlepped away from the rank and file of Klai Yisrael, because they unfortunately they are mamzer. But Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Yossi says, "Lasad lavoi, zarakti lechem mayim tohirim utahartim." They will all be tohar.
Interesting. Oh, no, Novi is always a good person.
Yeah.
Anyways, here he's.